The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke to his disciples. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth, be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord. In the Gospel, we hear terrifying images. If we pay attention, there's also hope. And this is the theme of Advent. It's a hope through purification. As we will continually hear the words of the judgment and the end of the world in this time of Advent, and the longing of the prophets for the coming of our Lord. This is to have our hearts always vigilant and prepared to be purified for the coming of Jesus. We know that these words will literally come true someday, perhaps in our time. We should always be vigilant to hear the Word of God and live the Word of God and preach the Word of God. Part of this word is to recognize and take hold of the purification in the Holy Spirit, calling us to prepare for the coming of our Lord. As we know that there has been a coming and there will be another coming, either at the end of our personal lives or when the world is judged. And there are different comings in the history of the world until the end of the world. If we hear these words just as words of terror and destruction, we are not fully listening to the word of the Lord in its context. In the past, many Catholics throughout history have faced difficulties, tribulations, trials. And the response can either be, we turn away from the faith, or more properly, our faith is increased in the knowledge that our Lord Jesus prophesied such things would come to us. And then he also prophesied a hope through the sufferings. The Lord will restore, like he did to Israel. And the Lord has a plan for the world. You see, in the face of suffering and death, and tribulations and wars, there are those who sometimes question, why did my loved one have to suffer so? Why do my people, my family have to suffer so? If you haven't taken hold of the fullness of the gospel, it just becomes a blackness without meaning, as if this is just something apart from God, apart from our faith. just something that randomly happens. This is not the Christian faith. The Lord Jesus chose to enter into the world as a small child, to grow up just like us, to have our daily sufferings and difficulties, his parents striving to make a living, to work hard, having to flee as immigrants to another nation, and refugees, coming back, facing contradictions and difficulties and confusions and frustrations. In the end, being entering into suffering and death, and then overcoming all of that through his resurrection, giving a sign of hope to the early church and to us today. This is the basic preaching of the gospel, the basic good news, which we should recall to ourselves, especially if you face loved ones who have extended suffering, difficulties, who, near the end of their death, are going through trials in your imagination. Sometimes the Lord allows this through purification from our past sins, or for somebody making up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ in the body of the church, which is right in Scripture, in Colossians, a form of prayer. If we keep this perspective in mind, then when we face those difficulties, we have a language to explain it. For example, in the past, and we can take the German Catholics in Germany near the end of World War II. Now we look at that country, you see it had been overrun by sin. Their leaders were doing evil things. Their nation faced war. And quite literally, many of their churches were bombed out. There's one story I always remember about an American Catholic chaplain accompanying American troops into one of those towns that had been bombed out. And it came to about Christmas time. And he decided on Christmas Eve he wanted to actually celebrate Mass in a church. But the only church they had there, the Catholic Church, was half bombed out. Nevertheless, he celebrated on the altar in a cold winter night. And the locals had heard about it. The local Germans came out in flocks, completely filling that very cold church. And they were singing their hearts out. Many later said it was one of the most glorious Christmases that they had ever celebrated. Why was that? It's because they had entered into, the preparation and the purification to their hearts. Perhaps many of those German Catholics had to acknowledge that their society had entered into sinful acts. Perhaps they had to repent of some things. And they saw in their very eyes that their church had been bombed out, and others around. But still, they had hope. That's what gave them the strength and even the eyes and the mouth to proclaim the glories of the Lord in the face of all of that. This is the hope that sustains. This is the hope that sees meaning through sufferings and difficulties. It's a good and holy thing then to enter into in a good and righteous way, with focus and meditation on the season of Advent in preparation. In my personal spiritual life, for several years now, I've tried to enter more deeply into Advent, which is called to be a minor time of penance, putting away festivities, fasting in some forms. And so my practice is not to enter into Christmas parties, not to eat Christmas goods in Advent, to enter into more times of lessening, giving to the poor, as I can, preparing your tithes for the end of the year. I find then that this helps me prepare for the real spiritual meaning of Christmas. To enter into, then, rejoicing, most especially in the Mass, and giving praise and glory to the Lord that He came into the world as a little child for love of us. And this follows my vocational path through the years. See, I didn't have a straight line to the priesthood. I learned a long, long time ago, seeing others who seemed to be directly going into the priesthood, rejoicing over getting this reward, being highlighted in a newspaper article, that this was not necessarily the way of the Lord. So I came to rejoice then in the trials, the tribulations leading to the rewards in heaven. The purification, the difficulties, and then looking back on those afterwards as acts of grace in which the Lord was building me up. In fact, I have a file that I've been keeping for years. Trials, tribulations, and rewards. This then has helped me to see these not as meaningless events, as things I had to endure, but as things that helped me to grow in the Lord, to grow in virtues, especially hope, to grow in the trust and the faith of the Lord that He would see me through the trial, as He did in this one and that one and that one. In the years past, I faced not being ordained through the diocese that I started with, a failed religious order, another attempt at a diocese that failed, and then finally having the grace to enter into the order I'm with now. At one point, living in, I counted 11 different residences in 10 years. Wherever the Lord calls, that's where I learned. Whether it be in Silicon Valley in the rich center of California, or the inner city in Philadelphia in the toughest neighborhood in the city, or the more northern areas in Minnesota and Canada. If you live in faith and hope, you can live and flourish wherever the Lord plants you, in whatever circumstances, whatever comes your way. Just like Joseph and Mary. Let's then enter into this time of Advent with meditation. Yes, preparing for the Christmas feast, buying your gift, inviting your family, but walk for a time with Joseph and Mary as they prepared to go to Bethlehem. Walk with the time, their difficulties and their travels, and sing songs with them as they must have, as we do today in remembrance of those journeys. Find the little joys and finding the meaning of the preparation for the season of Christmas. That the Christ child will be born. The joy of the angels, the awe of the shepherds seeing the angels, and the sparkling of the stars in the sky. Let's take a time to enter into meditation on the coming of our Lord with St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.